Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. And as always, just thank you so much for joining me for another in-depth and inspiring conversation that happens every week on What Women Must Know. This show is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions for your health and well-being. And that's always been my passion, is to just share the information so we can broaden our horizons, expand possibilities, and really be able to navigate our way through life and through the challenges of life and to find the keys for our health and healing. So again, thank you for joining me today on another, I think, incredibly inspiring show. So today we're going to be talking about how to revitalize your overall wellness through better brain fitness, and my guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. And let me just say a little bit about Dr. Porter. He is an award-winning author and speaker and founder of BrainTap, the leader in technology-enhanced meditation. Dr. Porter pioneered the use of brainwave entrainment to improve clarity, sleep, and energy, and remains at the forefront of scientific research. He founded BrainTap with the goal of making this technology accessible to everyone. BrainTap offers over 1,800 original audio sessions in 12 languages and serves a worldwide user base with its mobile app and headset. Dr. Porter has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, People, Entrepreneur Inc., and ABC, NBC, CBS as an expert in brain health and wellness. So I'm just so thrilled and delighted to have Dr. Porter on the show with us today. So, Dr. Porter, hello, and welcome to What Women Must Know.
Well, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
You know, I have been so looking forward to this conversation because when I was first introduced to the BrainTap, it was intriguing to me, and I signed up to do that first two-week free trial and then went on, and I actually have the BrainTap headset, and I have been working with it twice a day, every day. And the more I delve into the power of the brain, the more the infinite potentials are unlocked. And that's why this whole area fascinates me personally. And I know you have such an interesting and varied history and background. Before we jump into understanding the brain and why all this emerging research is showing us the power exists within our brain to transform our lives, to heal our bodies, to deal with moods, learning, education, just so many things, let's talk a little bit about the journey that you went on, because early in your life, you kind of knew you had a path to follow in this work.
Yes, I was very blessed to be the son of an alcoholic. That's what I tell people, because my dad got help for his alcoholism with something called the Silva Method. And then he became a instructor of the Silva Method, which is a meditation process, for those that haven't heard of it before, that uses technology. Like, there was a sound they called the Silva sound, which we now know as an isochronic tone, which harmonizes the room. So you can play it in a room. You don't have to wear earphones. And everyone in the room will go to, in their case, the whole thing was about going to level, which was alpha. And then once that happened, I was held back in second grade, and then my dad started working with us, and I became an honor roll student and excelled in sports. And I think it all had to do with my capacity to use my brain and learn how to meditate so I could visualize and then realize those goals.
And that really has led you to the work that you're doing. You know, I have studied many things. I have studied NLP. I have studied hypnosis. I have worked with holotropic music, I think it's called, at one time early on. I've been fascinated with frequencies. And I really appreciate the path that I experienced, because you have put it all together in this unique format and this unique technology that covers all those bases. And I have to say, that's what makes me so appreciative of what you're doing. I have known so much of this work, but none of it has come together in one place at one time that can be utilized by everyone, right? So can we talk about what is emerging now in our understanding of the brain? Why is there so much interest in accessing the potential of the brain for healing on all levels, more so than ever before, right? So let's talk about let's talk about the brain. What is our brain?
Well, I think you look at the brain as the hardware, and we have this thing called the mind, right? That's the software. And our brains access this electrical field, and we can measure it now better than ever before. Back in the 80s, when I was with a group called Light and Sound Research, and we invented the first light and sound machine, portable light and sound machine, we really didn't have the technology to measure brain waves like we can today. We could measure relaxation response, and we could use GSR machines or galvanic skin response systems. We could measure heart rate, respiration, hand temperature, those kind of things to tell if someone was in a state of relaxation. But we really couldn't tell what was going on with the brain on a clinical level unless you were in a, you know, one of these university labs and you had the big EEG equipment. And then what happened was, you know, we were using it at first to show there's a lot of biofeedback techniques to get rid of headaches. But the problem is that people don't want to use them. There's no way to measure what's happening. So that was our first thing with the equipment, was to show that. And then we found out that once somebody was taking away their pain, their memory got better. Their focus and concentration improved. And we know these things are all positive from meditation. But then as we evolved through what we were doing, we got equipment. And I think now, because in 2000, when our government at least said this is the decade for the brain, and everybody started focusing on it because of all the baby boomers around the world, that, you know, the aging population, now they're figuring out, hey, it doesn't do you any good to live a longer life if you don't have a brain, or you can't access your memories, or you're a burden to your family. So people started looking at the brain, and now I think we're in a renaissance as far as brain health goes, because so many people are focusing on it. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, continuing to work. My background was really addiction therapy. So when we were helping people with their addictions, we found out that the biggest problem they had was a dysregulated brain. And now we can measure it with tools like our NeuroCheck, which I helped to invent, and EEG equipment like the Wavi or other techniques that we have that we can measure brain frequencies. And I think people are now understanding that it's something that we need to do daily. Just like we do physical exercise, we need to do brain fitness.
And, you know, the challenge for so many people, at least I find this and people I work with, when it comes to putting together a strategy in their life that they can work with on a daily basis and to include things like relaxation, meditation, it's often so hard for people. The discipline is hard. They don't know how to quiet their mind, so they think they can't. But you have created a technology that facilitates everyone's ability to tap into those brain frequencies and be able to get the benefit of meditation, of relaxation, of reducing pain, and so many of the other abilities, enhanced ability to learn. So it makes it easy for everyone, really, now to benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that what we discovered was that, and now it's kind of a foregone conclusion that epigenetics, that 80% of who we are today is our environment, you know, from the foods we consume to the people we talk with to the podcasts we listen to, you know, the old saying, if you're hanging around five alcoholics, you're going to be the sixth. Or if you're hanging around five winners, you know, business winners, millionaires, you're probably going to be the sixth. And that's because there's more here in the field than we thought of. And in this field, our National Institute of Health here in the U.S. actually says, we now know that we have a biosphere. Well, in India, of course, they call it the aura or chakra system. Our medical community is now realizing that energy medicine is the future. And so we have this technology, and what we're finding is that our cells actually change and vibrate differently around different things. So, for instance, if we're by a body of water, our body will vibrate and resonate to 10 hertz frequency, which is happens to be alpha. And our brain will then signal to the gut, hey, start making acetylcholine, which is our neurotransmitter that helps us to feel good. And if we go to the mountaintops, you know, where the mountains range, a mountain range resonates at about 7.8 hertz frequency, or what they call the Schumann frequency or the earth frequencies. And, you know, gurus have been doing this for, you know, since the dawn of history, going to the mountains to meditate. And we didn't realize what was happening was while they're sitting in the mountain or in a cave in the mountain, their body is resonating and vibrating to theta. Well, theta is actually tells the body to produce GABA, which in turn is a precursor to DMT, which now we know through psychedelics, which is all the rage here in the U.S., with helping people with neuroplasticity. We now show that what it really is, it's expanding the brain profile to have more gamma. And gamma also produces GABA. So you have these two brain frequencies that when you cross over a barrier of 10 hertz and 7.8 hertz, which are two of the key brain frequencies for learning, actually. We call it hypernesia, that you also have a gamma burst and you have a delta burst, which basically is like, for people that know about chiropractic adjustments or physical therapy, it's what happens when you get like a physical reboot. Your nervous system gets rebooted like an old IBM computer or something. Once that happens, the brain regulates back. It's going to try to go back to its neurological norm. And if you can expose it to the right stimulus, in this case, we use light, sound, and vibration, and also words, all of these are known now with there's no question anymore. There's no researching it or trying to validate it. It's all been validated through science that those all of those things affect your epigenetics or the way you show up in the world. And actually are, they now know that those epigenetics that they used to say was junk DNA, that 99%, we now know that it's not junk DNA anymore, that every 40 seconds, every gene pair is changing based on the thoughts you're thinking, the water you're drinking, the food you're consuming, the people you're around. Basically, everything that you're exposed to biologically is either helping you to arrive as your best self or it's causing your epigenetics to down-regulate. Like we've done tests with people where we've given them a couple of drinks and we've scanned their body and we've shown that this down-regulates their whole system. And when you show that to somebody right there on the spot, they don't feel anything really. Maybe they've only had one beer, but we show them how that down-regulates their whole nervous system. They start to make different decisions about the foods they're consuming or the thoughts. We've even done it with negative thoughts. You can show how the body down-regulates just with negative thinking. So all of these things working together become a powerful force for good for the individual because the brain will, whatever we expose the brain to within a 72-hour period is going to affect the nervous system for that 72 hours. So the body we have today is the sum total of everything we've experienced over the last 72 hours just on an epigenetic level. Now, the 1% of our genetics that never changes, you know, I'm not going to grow my hair back or I'm not going to change the color of my eyes, but there are other genetic features that are changed because of those things we're exposed to.
And that's what's so exciting about this work. It opens up such possibilities for people rather than trying to, you know, figure your way out or to take, you know, some medication and supplements, there are ways that are now much, what we now know in this research with the brain that are much more profound and effective in altering how our physical self is expressing in the world. And I know that many universities have come to you to use your technology in research that they've done. So I really want people to understand the range of possibilities from the work you've been doing and the use of the brain tap. So can you share some of the research that has been done using the brain tap and the results that they've experienced?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about a few of the studies, and then we can go deeper if you'd like. The number one study that we quote all the time, if it's in the news a lot, is the one we did with the National Institute of Health here, where we took 100 individuals that had never meditated, and we wanted to show what would happen with one exposure to BrainTap. And so they had no experience. They didn't know how to relax. They were basically 55 to 65-year-old men and women, 50 men, 50 women. And the sum total or the net of what happened was after the one session, we had a 39.8% reduction in stress and a 23.4% improvement of the nervous system overall. But then when we tracked them over the next 30 days, when they used the BrainTap at least three times a week, which is what our clinics do, we have about 4,000 clinics here in the U.S. and around the world that are using BrainTap. And so when they usually have them come in one to three times a week, and we wanted to find out, is there really anything happening? Because we know if you have it at home and you're doing it once a day, we can get into the different times of the day and why it's important. But what we showed was that became their baseline as long as they did one session every 72 hours. So we were interrupting the old pattern. So that was a pretty profound change that was happening. So then we went on, we did a study in Florida. We call it the Saving Your Brain Protocol because the Dr. Kelly Miller actually wrote a book called Saving Your Brain after we did this pilot study that's now in a bigger study at Seminole College here in Florida. And what we did was we took women 55 to 65. They all had been diagnosed with dementia. And they all took the Cambridge Science Test, which is a clinical test that actually validates if they're on the spectrum of dementia or not. They all were. Their medical doctors all diagnosed them with dementia. So there was no issue. They all had dementia. Then all we did was have them use the BrainTap three times a day. Now, they used it every day. And I need to say this so that your listeners understand that the body, the most underprescribed nutrient on earth is light. And our body takes light, and it's absorbed by the hemoglobin, and then it circulates through the body to find the cells that are about to die. They call it apoptosis. If the light energy can get there before the cell completely dies, it will absorb that light energy, and that cell will come back to life, and it will start the Krebs cycle, which means it basically remembers what it is. And so that cell, if it's a brain cell, if it's a liver cell, if it's a heart cell, whatever it is, it will start to operate at its highest level of efficiency because it has energy to do that in the form of ATP. So what we did was we had them do a morning session, which trains the brain to a brainwave called SMR, which is sensory motor rhythm. And that's the one as we get better looking and more intelligent with age, that's the brainwave that actually atrophies. So when you think about people losing their balance, we've proven that it's not all to do with your muscles, because what moves your muscles is your brain. And if your brain's not working right, like the frequency for balance in the vestibular system, it doesn't matter how much exercise you do, you're not going to improve your balance. So what we showed people was you can improve your balance just by using BrainTap. But that was only a side benefit. In the middle of the day, when everybody's temperature drops 2 degrees, and I mean everyone, wherever you're at around the planet, that's when your biological system is rebooting. Now, as we age, our nervous system dysregulates. So a lot of people will get really cold in the afternoon. That's because the temperature will drop more than 2 degrees, and they'll get a chill. And there's also that's also the time where people go for tea or coffee or chocolate, when the body needs a reboot. So we have a series of sessions we call brain fitness sessions. We had them do in the middle of the afternoon. And then at night, there's another series of sessions we have, which we call Sleep RX. And what it does, it takes them through the cycles of sleep and drops them off in delta. Now, the reason delta is so important is that your brain only opens up and activates a system called the glial lymphomic system, which is the lymph system of the brain. It only activates during level 4 sleep. So back in 2015, when the medical community discovered that, they actually had to rewrite all the physiology books, because there's not a physiology book that was printed before 2015 that shows the lymphatic system in the brain, which is virtually impossible, because anyone who's taken physiology knows anywhere there's a blood vessel, there's a lymph vessel. But it didn't activate. The brain is very protective about what comes in and what goes out. They call it the blood-brain barrier. So the only time it does it is during level four sleep. And some of your listeners might have woke up in the middle of the night and they had sleep paralysis. They literally woke up in the middle of a cleaning cycle. So we had them do this, these three sessions. We taught them nothing else. Now, we've done future studies where we've improved their nutrition and we've got them exercising and we got even better results. But with just the brain tap, because that's how you have to do studies, with just the brain tap in 6 weeks, we sent them back to their doctor. Every one of them were told, what did you do? And they said, well, we listened to this device three times a day, and every one of their doctors said, it can't be that. There has to be something else. Because unfortunately, that's the way medical doctors are taught. If it's not a pill, it can't fix anyone. So, but anyway, they said, you don't have dementia, you don't have the symptoms of dementia anymore. We had them retake the Cambridge Science Testing, which is an actual test where you get to test how the brain is responding, and it's matched up with fMRI, and they again showed that they were no longer in the dementia spectrum. And then we measured their brain energy, which we call neuroplasticity, which is the more energy you have in the brain, the more neuroplastic you are, which means the more energy you have to do work. So the more energy you have to do work, the better off your brain works. Well, the average person had a 39% improvement in neural function, which means their neuroplasticity improved 39% in 6 weeks, which is kind of incredible. And so we took that study now. It's in a bigger study in Florida here at Seminole College. And by the way, Seminole College, we did a study. I could go on, but this will be the last one, then we can ask some questions. At Seminole College, we have over 17 new studies over the last 3 years. So we have, right now as we're speaking, there's 12 universities doing studies with brain tap. The one we're most excited about is the one with Parkinson's. But at Seminole College, we took the golfers, the female golfers, and what we showed was that within the golf team, after they use the brain tap, they're not only are they 4 years in a row, they're national champions here, which means they're the best in college. We were able to improve their alpha score by 90%. And these were elite athletes. So when you can take an elite athlete and improve their alpha, which is their focus and concentration, by 90%, that's pretty incredible. Now, the biggest thing we're really happy about with that study was the golf team has the highest GPA in the school now. So they're using it. If you go to Seminole College in Florida and you look at their website, they actually dedicated a whole page to brain tap, and they renamed their neurocenter, the brain tap neurocenter. We actually have three colleges that did that just after they did research for us, because it so changed their thought about neurophysiology and what can happen, what we can do with the brain in a very simple way with a device that's less than $1,000. You know, that's what blows their mind. There's a saying that spirit is simple, but man is complex. You know, it's so simple that people have a hard time wrapping their head around it.
You know, those studies are so impressive, but that's only a small component of what else is possible with this technology. And I know you've done work with learning, with children, with mm-hmm. learning. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, my first book was actually called Awaken the Genius, where I would teach people accelerated learning techniques. And one of them was brain fitness at the time it was called the MC Square, which was our device at the time. And what we showed was when the brain is in a whole brain state, you're simply smarter. Now, we learned this, first of all, through something called the Mozart effect. And if people want to look that up on the internet, it's basically a study they did where they played 10-cycle music in the classroom, and everybody's brains actually work better just by playing that music. So we took it a step further. We did a study in learning where we showed what the brain does when it's on the music, which is great. It synchronizes, gets into alpha, which is a super learning state. And then what we showed was that when you turn the music off, the brain goes right back to its stressed out state. There's no benefit. There's no future benefit from listening to music. So we did this with over 1,000 students. Then we took that same piece of music and we put the brain tap algorithm that I created over the last 30 years, and we put that into the equation. Now the brain learned because the algorithm actually taught the brain. And what I mean by that is when the brain only learns under stressful environments. So even though the brain taps a relaxing tool, your brain is actually learning and being re-educated on how to operate within the system of life. And in learning, most kids, unfortunately, when they get stressed out, one hemisphere of the brain will collapse. And we've shown this many times on EEG. What that means is under stress, the brain will simply localize to its let's say it's, they're a right brain creative person or they're a left brain logical person. Under stress, you will revert back to whatever your preferred method is. For instance, if you've ever gotten in an argument with somebody and they just escalate their voice, they're probably emotional, which means they're more of a right brain person under stress. A left brain person will try to become logical. And, you know, their best thinking got them that position. So logic isn't going to help them out of it. So we need to connect these two hemispheres. Now, there are a lot of ways to connect these hemispheres. Brain taps, one of them. You could do things like yoga, tai chi. Even walking is a great way to integrate these two hemispheres. So there's an exercise, of course, and things like that. So what we showed in the schools, we taught them some really core NLP techniques. I was fortunate when I learned NLP, Richard Bandler and John Grinder were still together. And my dad was a real component. He really drilled it into our heads that if you stop learning, you're going to start rotting. Because you're either green and growing or, you know, ripe and rotting is what he used to say. So we would take training all the time. I still take training to this day, you know, because I get to go to a lot of conferences. I'm sitting in the room learning, growing. It seems like I just can't learn enough. And it seems like just when you think you know something, you find out you don't know much because there's all this new information coming out. But I was fortunate to train with Dr. Bandler, and we put together an NLP course actually for Quantum University. And we're the dean of brain-based medicine there. And what we did was we took the courses at Quantum, and I took the professor's notes and made them into brain tap sessions. So now when people listen to them, instead of waiting for it to be converted into subconscious learning, they actually watch the video of the professor, they put the brain tap on, and they integrate it at the subconscious level. And we took a 4-year graduate program and made it a 2-year graduate program with better recall and retention, so that when our students would take the test for there's a natural medicine test you have to take in America to be a natural medicine doctor. And that's the whole goal of the college, is to prepare them for that test so they can go out and teach natural medicine. And we showed, I mean, there's so many, we took students that, one study we did in Pikeville College was we took students that had no interest in going to college. This was in a coal mine here in, we should talk about the coal mine study we did in Australia too, but the coal mine study we did in Kentucky, where we took students that had no ambition to go to college. They had to be C level or lower to be part of this program. At the end of 4 weeks, we only spent 4 weeks with them. We taught them 4 different techniques, and they're all written in my book, Awaken the Genius, so it's not a big secret. But there's a section there called Student Genius. We taught them those skills, and we had them brain tap. At the time it was the MC Square, but we had them do a light and sound session every day. And what happened was at the end of the school year, every one of them went up at least one grade average. Most of them went up to A's. Out of the 52 kids in the study, 52 of them went to college. Those 52 finished their freshman year of college, which is unheard of here in America, because most of the time, 50% of all incoming freshmen will drop out their freshman year. But these kids learned how to learn. The problem we have in the school systems right now is we're being told what to think, but no one's being trained how to think. And that's what we do with BrainTap. We teach you how to sort, organize, and prioritize information so that when you need it the most, it's available to you. Most people, I'll give you an example. Most people work with affirmations, which are pretty good. But affirmations don't work for a lot of people, because when you're affirming something that just isn't true, your nervous system knows it isn't true. And emotion drives behavior, not logic. So it doesn't matter how many times you say it, if you emotionally don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. So what NLP teaches is it's not what you say to yourself, it's the questions you ask of yourself. So for instance, let's use the example, somebody's trying to get thin because they want to lose weight, and they say, I'm 145 pounds, but they look in the mirror and they're 190. Well, they're never going to be 145 pounds as long as they're making that statement, and emotionally they're feeling it's a lie. But if they use the same example, and but they say, what is life going to be like at 145 pounds? How am I going to be able to get down and exercise? How am I going to interact with my significant other? What are the fun things I'm going to be doing? How am I going to recognize that? What am I going to say to myself? There's the all these questions that are part of NLP, really. They drive behavior because the brain likes to solve problems. It doesn't like to be told what to do. And when you tell it what to do, that fourth grader, that's your subconscious mind, it will put up a fit and self-sabotage. So once you're there, you can use affirmations. But to get there, affirmations just fall flat. But if you really, and there's also another step to it, which I call impact words. So we use all of those things, and we use modeling, which means there's a difference between when I worked with addictions and learning, teaching people. We have several addiction programs in BrainTap, but a lot of people think people drink or do drugs or look at porn or whatever is their addiction, and they think they're doing it for some crazy reason. They're doing it to feel normal. And so if we can get their brain balanced and normalized, they won't have that addiction any longer. It'll be a choice if they want to do it, but it won't be a driver that they put everything else aside and they just becomes all-consuming. So part of the learning, everything we are today is learned. When Queen Elizabeth said we learn just like monkeys from their parents, but I would expand that out into the preachers and teachers and other family members. Anybody you were around from the time you were born to the time you were 7 years old had a significant impact on who you are today. Now, to the degree that you had a family that allowed you to adapt, improvise, and overcome your shortcomings, you can overcome any of those negative programming. But most of the time, life doesn't treat you very well because everyone's out to looking after number one and nobody's looking after you. So you got to take personal responsibility. That's why one of my favorite sayings is you don't need a breakdown to have a breakthrough. So most of the people wait till they have that breakdown at 35 to 39 years old, and then they realize, hey, I got to take control of my life. I'm out of control here. I got to start eating healthy. I've got to start thinking better. I've got to start exercising. Well, now because of this big movement in like biohacking or health optimization, people are taking back control of their health, especially after what's happened over the last 3 years. People are realizing that our medical community has failed us. They're basically their sick care, and their whole job is to make us sick enough that we lose all our money before we die. And we need health care. We need people taking care of our health, but that's a personal job. It's not a job for a professional. And the same is true with learning. Once somebody becomes an adult learner, and I use my dad as the example, when my dad got help with his alcoholism, he went back to school and he had a goal to get A's in all of his classes. And universities are set up so poorly that a university professor came in, and I wrote this in my book, it's one of the stories, the professor came in and said, no one gets an A in my class. He said that at the very beginning. He limited every student's beliefs right away. So my dad is very forthright when he was alive. He raised his hand. They said, yeah, can I help you? He said, does that mean you're not capable of teaching an A? And, of course, the professor backpedaled and said, what do you mean? He says, if you're capable of teaching an A, I'm capable of getting one. And my dad got an A in that class and changed that professor's mindset because he reframed them. You know, so sometimes we have to challenge the norm that's out there because you don't want to be normal. Normal is sick. We want to be thriving. And that's where, you know, when I look at BrainTap, we work a lot with all these different conditions. But the real joy I have is working with positive things. Like here in America, there's an athlete. His name is Tom Brady. And he's a world-class athlete, you know, the top quarterback that ever played the game. He actually promotes and uses BrainTap through his company called TB12 because of what we did with concussions. So everything that we've done is a learned expression or experience, and it seems like people in the know, they'll go a little bit further. They'll they'll spend the time, energy, and effort on themselves to improve. And I think in learning, once kids realize you put them back in control, and I'm just going to give you one more example, then we can go on with the learning. But we taught them how to evaluate a test. And we showed them some people are visual, some people are auditory, some people are kinesthetic. It's a very basic premise of NLP. But we taught them to go in and circle all the predicates and then change them to their predicates on the test. Just that alone caused people who were failing tests to succeed at those tests because the teacher didn't realize. We showed the teacher, hey, look, all your tests are for visual learners. These kids that are struggling are auditory and kinesthetic. Once they changed the test, and the teachers were contacting us going, these guys are messing with my test. They're changing the words. And they do. I said, but what's the answer? The question and the answer. I said, the reality would be that we taught them that their teachers were miscommunicating in the same language here, English, but they were speaking almost a foreign language to them because the brain could not process that data. But once they learned the sequence of information and the flow of information from visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, the brain opens up its riches, and the feedback loop between our brain and our conscious mind is liberated, and everyone's a genius. That's why the book that I wrote was called Awaken the Genius, because I believe everyone is a genius. You just don't know it, or you've never activated that part of your brain yet.
I know. All this is so exciting because we're finding that technologies like the BrainTap is truly allowing us to access these infinite possibilities that we often want to access or struggle to find, you know, techniques to do it, but not really successful with it. I want to ask you a question, and then I want to go back to some of the benefits, but I have to ask you this question. Our society is filled with the media that has such violence. Violence is everywhere. Every movie that comes out is violence, the video games, the languaging. What is the impact of a culture that is so steeped in violence and violent language and violent visuals, violent behavior on the brain?
Well, I think it's part of our inherent DNA. I mean, when you think about nature itself, you know, bears have their territory, you know, everything seems to be feeding on everything else. And we're in a turning point now, I think, in our behavior, but we are the, everyone listening to this, you and I included, we're the genetic benefactors of superior epigenetics. Our ancestors didn't fall off the cliff, didn't drown, didn't get eaten by a bear. We were made of stardust, right? In this, we're here after a long journey, and they now know that all the information, all the galactic information, from the time of the Big Bang to now, is encoded in our genetics. We are light beings. It's not a metaphysical concept any longer. Science says that we have something called the biophotonic system, which simply means that we have a light system in our body that tells our genes how to turn on and off, express either positively or negatively. And it's controlled by the sun. That's why if you don't get to sleep before 10 o'clock at night, you don't make as much melatonin. You make twice as much melatonin before 12 o'clock as you do afterwards. So our body, there's a lot of things like that. I could just go on and on. And our body needs light to operate. So but our genetics, we have this fear built, baked into us for survival. But today it's unfounded because we can throw a rock in any direction, pretty much in any big city, and hit a grocery store. But that doesn't mean that the cellular memory of who we are isn't bleeding through. I love it when people say, my family has depression in their genes. My family has the fat gene. My family has the alcohol gene. None of that is true. Your family has propensity for that, but you have to turn that gene sequence on. And that's behaviors, that's attitudes. So we have to, first of all, we're not only fighting against who and what we are as a species, because the average person has 60,000 thoughts a day and more than 80% of them are negative. That's because we're always looking out to survive. we have a part of our brain, we call it the survivor brain. It's really the fight or flight. And one thing that triggers it, and we saw it on mass scale here 3 years ago, is fear. The worst thing you can do to your biological system is put yourself in a fear-based reality. And what did they do? I always tell people, if you're too happy, life's going too good, and you just can't stand yourself because you're feeling so good, just turn on the news. The news has to scour the whole planet to give us 1 hour of bad news. But if you walked around your neighborhood and asked everybody to tell you something wonderful that happened today, I guarantee you, you could fill up a day's worth of programming just in your neighborhood. But it's what we focus on. So our propensity, look at the highway when somebody gets a car breaks down or there's an accident. People love that. You know, and there's something wrong with a society that we have our heroes and then we love to crush our heroes. You know, when we look at these magazines and they're following around stars like they're supposed to be, they're playing a role in a movie, but they're really just individuals. And then they do something silly, and it's all across all the newspapers that are in the grocery store. And people get hung up on that. Like, who cares what the king and queen are doing? Does that influence me at all? No. But some people will spend their whole life wondering what's going on with the royal family. I could care less. I would rather be concerned with what my grandkids are doing and going to their sporting event and having a great relationship with my wife. That's what I should be spending my time on. But some people, they're looking for distractions. And I think it's just part of our nature, unfortunately, that it's so easy to be distracted and look outside yourself for your happiness, for your joy. And really, you know, the old saying, happiness is an inside job, is more real than most people are willing to admit, because it's baked into us. You know, it wasn't too long ago, when you think about the history of the world, it wasn't too long ago where we didn't even know 50% of the world's map. You know, now, you know, pretty much every culture in the world is affected by the pollution that our world is creating out of greed. And then they're trying to tell us that the world isn't big enough for all of us. Well, the reality is that only 3% of the world's buildable land is being used. That's leaving 97% of the buildable land that's not being used. So are we really in a population overproduction, or are we not efficient? We need a technology revolution, not one that kills off all the people on the planet. You know, it's just crazy, but this is the way, you know, it always seems like when one person has something, somebody else wants to take it from them. You know, and my whole thought is that we need, and this is my whole mission, is to create a world of cooperation and collaboration, because nobody gets out of here alive. So as soon as we realize that we're leaving our world to our children, it's loaned to us. And unfortunately, over the last 50 years, we've screwed it up pretty well. So let's fix it. We have the technology to do that, believe me. But it's, where are people focusing their attention? Turn off the news. Actually boycott it completely, because it's not real. That's drama. And it's manipulating and controlling the masses. Remember, the worst thing that can happen to your nervous system is fear. Look at what you can do today, how you can expand. How can you make yourself happy and make your family happy? And I guarantee you that will make your little village happy. And that will make your town happy. And they'll make your state happy. We need to create a revolution from the inside out. And that's why brain health is so important right now. Because we're literally at a war for our brain. And I'm actually in the middle of shooting a documentary about that. People are, the most valuable real estate in the world is between our ears. And it's being battled with, because people are being controlled in ways they don't even think so. I mean, look what happened during the last 3 years. People wearing masks when they've been proven to be false. And it's destroying their health. Some people are still wearing them around here. They didn't get the memo that carbon monoxide poisoning is worse. And dental, all you have to do is talk to a dentist. All the disease that's happened because people are wearing masks. We're designed to breathe, you know, but these are things that people just believe because we're being told what to think, and nobody's being trained how to think. And so I think the main thing that's happening with the greed factor and the fear factor and all of that is that people are so easily give away their power. We are powerful. Everyone listening to this podcast, you are powerful. You can make a shift. There's something, and I want to leave it with this, and we'll go on to the next question because I know we're running out of time. There's something called the Maharishi effect. And what the Maharishi proved, without a doubt, no scientist could debunk their data. They took meditators to New York City during the summer when crime rates are always their highest, and they had them meditate. While they were meditating, crime went down over 37%. When they stopped meditating, it went right back up. Now, in the history of time, they've never had a reduction of crime. It had to be the meditators. So imagine when somebody asks me, why do you want to better a billion brains? Because the square root of one. We really only need 10,000 enlightened people meditating for peace on earth, and this craziness would stop. It's been proven. So I figure a billion, we'll get 10,000 out of that. So we've got to keep working and realizing that you make a difference. Every person listening to this, you make a difference like my dad did. My dad got help. He helped me. I've helped millions of people. You have a little Patrick at home, or you have somebody in your sphere of influence like me, that once you activate them to be their best self, the world's going to change. So imagine if we all did that with some member of our family. What would the world look like 20 years from now, 100 years from now? It certainly wouldn't look like Davos wants. It will look like a world of peace on earth. There's enough out there. There's enough abundance. There's enough materials. There's enough of everything for everyone to live a super abundant life.
Well, I have to say, I so admire your passion, because what you have created is an access point, a way that people can optimize this amazing power that we have. And I just want to add, because we don't have time to go into all the other studies, but it's helped people with on the spectrum, with autism. It's helped with weight loss. It's helped with anxiety, depression. It's helped with healing, physical healing. I mean, you know, the list goes on, accessing more of the potential to stay focused. But before, we are kind of coming towards the end. So can you just briefly explain what technologies, what have you put into this BrainTap technology that makes it so powerful?
Well, I'll start with what makes us different than anything out there in the world, and that's the retinal flashing. There's been a lot of research with retinal flashing, which means flashing of the eye, in the eyes, but your lids are closed. But what happens is cranial nerve 2 activates the brain. So we've actually figured out an algorithm that these flashing tunes the brain. So think of it like a timing light in an old automobile, where we're tuning the brain to follow those frequencies. The science is actually called frequency following response. But the brain needs light energy. So your eyes are the best access point for that, because that's what our eyes do. If you're blue-eyed, you bring in more light than a brown-eyed person. But what we do, there's five different settings on the brain tap, so you can increase it as you learn to move more energy. The more light, the better for the brain, because it builds neurocircuitry, and it keeps the brain awake. Most people don't know this, but over the last 10 years, we've measured 30,000 brains, and we've shown without a doubt, as soon as you close your eyes without light stimulus, 30% of your brain goes dormant. So when people go, I can't meditate, that's because they don't have the energy to meditate. So what we do is we're going to keep the brain energized. Now, what I found out just 10 years ago was, what if we put lights in the ears and we allowed something called, there's a frequency in the eyes, those are earth frequencies, from 0.5 up to 78 hertz frequency, depending upon the session that we're delivering. In the ears, we have something called Noget frequencies. Dr. Noget created something called auricular therapy, which you might know as acupuncture. But in America, we always have to change the name and claim that we created it. So he created a new science out of a 10,000-year-old history. But what he found out was, when you use this music with auricular points, the body would tune up. And if any of these frequencies are out of balance, the body is out of balance. So what I did was I said, why don't we deliver this? Because we had a laser that did this. I said, why don't we deliver the same dose as a laser in light, which is 20-minute dose with 9 LEDs, which is the same dose as a 2.5 minute laser treatment, but we do it in the ears. Now, the ears are important because all the blood in the body passes through the ears. And this is a great way to fill the hemoglobin with light energy or photic energy. And then the ears, the blood in the ears helps to regulate the temperature of the brain. So that blood goes in and out of the brain first. So if we want to deliver light energy to the brain, the eyes and the ears are two of the better ways to do that. Now, you can also put it up the nose, but we decided not to do that in this technique. So the light is there, and that light is matching the auditory rhythms. There's three different frequencies of sound as well. Those are light frequencies. We also have sound frequencies that are what they call sophigeo frequencies. There's 10 different sophigeo frequencies, and they all do different things. And when we activate them, they activate literally different regions of the brain. So we've married that also to the program. We use binaural beats, isochronic tones, and we use specialized music that is like that Mozart effect kind of music. We call it 10 cycle music. And then we have sessions that are just our algorithm. So if somebody doesn't want to hear any words, they just want to do the algorithm, we have those. We have some with just music, just with the sophigeo frequencies. And then we have ones that have words. Now, the reason the words are important, there's somebody named Bruce Lipton that wrote the book Biology of Belief, and we bring him out to Quantum University all the time to speak. He's awesome. If your listeners have not heard of him or you haven't had him on your show, he'd be a good one. He actually lives in New Zealand. So he would be a good one.
He's been on my show, actually.
Yeah, he's a great he's a great one. I've had him on my show a few times. He's awesome. But what he showed was that words change up to 2,300 gene expression. So when somebody says they don't want to hear the note, they don't want to hear the words, I always say, then you need it work. You need it the most. Because if it's causing resistance, anything that causes resistance is a problem. There should be no resistance. And if there's resistance, there's not flow. So when you add in these five different technologies, what happens is there's a synergy that happens. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, whatever equals 5. It's when you have these five programs together, each one of them work by themselves. They've all been researched. They've all been validated. But nothing has ever got the results that we've got when we combine them into our proprietary mix. Now, my algorithm is something that we've been working on since the 80s. So there's a lot of people out there going, well, I've done binaural beats. I've done isochronic tones. They've not done ours, because most of the ones you see on the internet, they're just somebody playing around that doesn't even know neuroscience. And if you listen to the same program within a 72-hour period, your brain doesn't do anything. So you hear these ones that say, listen to this 10 cycle while you work. Well, the first time you listen to it, you'll get some benefit. The second time you listen to it, you'll get less. The third time you listen to it, you get nothing. We've already proven this in the lab. The brain needs to be challenged. So that's why we have 2,000 sessions. So when you go through, let's say you want to do GABA training because you want to open up to higher possibilities, because GABA, again, triggers that. GAMA triggers GABA, which triggers DMT production. So you can have these spiritual experiences. Well, you don't want to just listen to one session. We have over 40 sessions with GABA on it. So each time you listen, you get a different discovery, and your brain gets a different outcome. And this is when you get brain fitness, not when you just do one thing or another. You've got to do, and we believe there's three focuses to this. Number one, you have to have a good diet. You can't outthink a bad diet. So you can't just do brain tap and think you're Saint Germain and you're going to take junk food and make it into health food. Number two, you got to move and breathe. That's why we like yoga, dance. We actually have a balance board that we now use called the 60 Up that's been getting the elderly out of wheelchairs, even using that with brain tap. And so there's a lot of things. Movement is super important for the brain. And then number three, we need to do some kind of brain fitness. That can be breath work. It can be brain tap. When you do them together, we have a lot of breath work series. We have over, I think, 70 sessions with breath work on brain tap right now, and we're growing them more because breath is so important for brain function.
And that's what makes this technology so effective. It's because you have synthesized all these key pieces that activate and support the optimal functioning of the brain. It's really tapping into that full potential of the brain, and it's easy to do because you just have to be willing to listen to to it, you know, twice a day. You don't have to spend hours meditating, which discourages a lot of people. A couple of real quick questions, because we're really coming to the end. How do people know which program to use for what issue they may want to address?
Well, our search feature, all you have to do is put in what you want to work on, and out of the 2,000 sessions, you're going to find something. I mean, there's going to be something there. But we also are putting in protocols that we've discovered over the course of history that are working. The one that's up there right now when they first log in is the Quick Start Guide. You know, it's 21 days, and it tells you whenever you're doing it, use those. But, I mean, let's say you want to work on, you're going through menopause. We have a program called Mind Over Menopause. If you're going through pregnancy, we have stress-free childbirth. So they're usually pretty much symptom-specific. Or if you want to improve your golf game, your football game, your soccer, a basketball, we have sessions for those.
Beautiful. Well, I just want people to know they can learn more. Go to braintap.com. You're able to download the app and have a free trial for 14 days, I believe, and have an experience of it. You know, give it a go. And that's how I started doing it 3 times a day. And I just feel, Dr. Porter, that it has made, enhanced my capacities to sleep deeper, to just have more energy, more mood balance. You know, and I get it. I just get the profound creation that you have brought into this dimension for us, and how necessary it is to optimize the full potential of who we are in a way that's easy and effortless. You just have to be committed and consistent with it. So I personally want to thank you for all the hard work and for the inspiration and for the passion and how you are truly making this world a better place. So it's just been such a delight and an honor to have this conversation with you, and I hope everyone's inspired to do this. You know, braintap.com. Check it out, or you can always email me if you have questions. We have a minute. Do you have one last thought you want to share with us, Dr. Porter, before we go?
Yeah, I think the main thing I like to tell people is you are far greater than you've been led to believe. All you need to do is activate it. You're more capable than other people have been telling you about. You're not a weak, helpless person. No matter what you're going through, everyone goes through the dark night of the soul. Once you get through it, that's your mission. Figure out how to solve that problem, get the help you need, and then go help the world, because other people are going through it as well. And as soon as you become of service, you activate your own little superpower that will help you to get through the night and get you through the day and make your life one of purpose. And that's what happened to me, and I just think that's my message to people, that whatever you're going through right now is training you for your next evolution. So let's get out there and change the world one brain at a time.
Well, that's beautiful. So thank you again, and thank you all for listening. And stay inspired and get out there and do it. You know, listen to the brain tap, see it for yourself, experience what happens. Dr. Porter, thank you so much for your time, for the wonderful work you're doing, and for the inspiration you have brought to everyone today.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I had a good time here. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. We'll say bye for you, and bye to all my listeners. This is What Women Must Know. I hope you'll be joining me every week. And remember, check out the Brain Tap. I have to say, it really has inspired me, and I hope you have been inspired today. So until next week, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.
Bye. And I.